Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Welcome back to the Femi Pod. I'm here, obviously, with my bestie Lesty, my biddy Liddy, who's finally back from America, back on Australian soil. We're here before episode number 130, which is amazing. Can't believe we've done that many episodes. But yeah, so excited to chat today. We're going to chat all things running and then also breaking barriers and having big goals and not being scared to share them. So, Liz, how you been? Tell us about your trip and what you've been up to.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm back on Aussie soil after pretty much a whole month away, which is a long time. It kind of feels like I was in Sydney yesterday, but then also in Sydney like 10 years ago. I feel like so much has happened in the last 4 weeks, but it's nice to be back here. I've arrived back to a massive storm, so I was looking forward to kind of getting back into like training in some nice weather, and it's been just horrific this week, but nothing to complain about. The last week I've been in a place called Puerto Escondido, and it's like a little Mexican town, little beach town on the west coast of Oaxaca, and it was so beautiful. It was such a beautiful, like, little underdeveloped town, real like surfy vibes. Just so cool. It actually got hit by a hurricane the week before we arrived, so we weren't going to go, and then last minute we were like, oh, let's just go and hope for the best, and it turned out to be really beautiful weather, and we just kind of explored for the week. And I had a week kind of down from running after all the travel and everything. I decided to just kind of go for the week and not run so much, which was kind of nice. I guess most of the time I'm traveling, I'm also trying to like cram in all my training, and it does kind of make it a lot more stressful and not so enjoyable. But the travel that I do most of the time is for work anyway, so I'm kind of like on the grind. But because this was like a actual holiday, no work, I wanted to also like not be stressing about running. So it was also freaking hot, like 7 o'clock in the morning, was 28 degrees, and the humidity was so bad. So even if I did want to go out for big long runs, it just wouldn't have really been that possible. But I did go for a couple and it was fun. But we also just spent a lot of time chilling and swimming. And yeah, unfortunately, the last day I got pretty severe food poisoning and was violently ill for about 24 hours. It was not a good time at all. And I'm still recovering from it. I think this morning I was up at like 2 o'clock in the morning on the toilet, which might be too much information, but I've not been well. My stomach's not been well. So trying to run, and I like, if most food right now makes me feel sick, even just looking at it. So I'm like trying to get food in to make sure that I'm looking after myself to train as well. But yes, it's been a bit of a roller coaster of a week since getting sick, and then having to travel for 2 days to get back to Australia was, yeah, a real journey. But I'm here, and it's, I also did the Mexico After Dark tour, which is like nearly 2 weeks ago now, which is kind of crazy. And if you listen to our last episode, I was kind of going into that race as more of just a training run and just to kind of celebrate women's running community and just be part of the event and part of the Mexico women's running community, and like just get amongst it really. And it was so fun. So I'm happy to say I really stuck to the plan and kept it as a training run. It was like, I don't know, 300 or 400 meters of elevation. So the whole course was hilly. You're either running up hills or downhills. The last 3K you're running up a hill pretty much until the last maybe 500 meters where you like bomb down this hill into the stadium. But yeah, it was hectic crazy. It was insanely raining. Like, it was a huge storm. I would say majority of the course was underwater, so you're running in water that's like up to your ankles. And it was it was fun and a good time, but also quite hard for a training run.
Was that the hurricane? Were you running in the hurricane?
No, the hurricane was in the beach town in Oaxaca. But I mean, it probably was the dregs of the hurricane because it was so wet. But I don't know, like, I think if you told me I was going into that race where it was going to be completely bucketing down the whole time, I would have been so depresso about it. But once you're out there and there's just like 10,000 women and you're all saturated and your hair's just slicked back, knotty, you do embrace it. So it was fun. I think I ended up running like an hour 26 or something, and my heart rate averaged 150 something. So I was like really stoked that I didn't push the pace, because there were moments in the race where there would be women running with me and then they kind of like slightly pull away, and normal Lydia would be like, "You can keep up with her, you can beat her, like, let's go, like, be competitive." But in that race, I was like, "I don't even care. I'm just here having a good time and it's all good. I don't care where I come." So yeah, it was good. And the Mexican women are beautiful. They're such incredible people, super passionate and supportive. And it was just like, yeah, good time. So the Nike Afterlife Tour is not over. There is another one coming up in London, but that's not till November. So it's for me, it's kind of wrapping up, and it's been such an amazing race series to be part of, and just to be able to go and experience the women's running community in so many different countries has been really special. So I'm very grateful that I got the opportunity to go and do that.
Can imagine like doing all three of them, you would have seen like, yeah, such different like cultures and I don't know, different running subculture as well. It'd be really cool to see the three different places and like, I don't know, see the
Yeah.
differences between them all. It'd be really cool.
There were so many differences, but there were also like similarities in the way that just women are like there to support one another. And just going back on the journey of like the growth that's happened in women's running, to think about how many women are lining up for those races now, it's just completely insane. And it was just a real party in all three locations. It was like a party and a celebration. It's just so special.
Oh, cool. Oh my gosh, fun. And then what, Sydney Marathon's next? Let's chat about that. What's the plan?
Yes, I can't even think about it right now because I'm like still not feeling
As well.
100%, and I have like, I don't know, it's only maybe 7 or 8 weeks maybe away, so it's really not that far away. But for me, because I've been running for so long and I have such a like solid base, I'm not too worried. I think a good solid like 6 weeks of training for me is probably what I need for a marathon. But that's not for everybody, so don't take that and use that as advice. That's purely just for someone who's been running their entire life. But yeah, it's going to be a pretty big 6 weeks ahead of training that I am looking forward to. It. I am excited to kind of get into some pretty big mileage and some real consistency in my mileage, which I've had consistency in training, but I haven't been running huge mileage for like ages. So I'm excited to like get back into that and kind of see what I can do. I've done a couple of longer runs in the last couple of days, and I haven't felt great. And I was thinking, I'm excited about the progress I'm going to see in the next 6 weeks compared to like what I am running right now and how I'm feeling. Hopefully, in 6 weeks' time, I'm like on and I feel really good, and I've been able to bank all the training that needs to get done. So, Sydney Marathon is, I think, around 350 meters in elevation, which is similar to what I ran in Mexico, except Mexico was 21 Ks. So it makes Sydney feel really achievable, which is kind of also why I was excited about Mexico. And running those hills was to like mentally prepare me for what Sydney has in it. Because if I hadn't done that going into Sydney and being like, shit, that's so many hills and it's such a long way and whatever. But now I'm like 300 meters, it's nothing. It's all good.
That work for you. Yeah, I feel like if that race was anything to go by, like in your heart rate in the hills and like your pace and everything, like you've got a really solid base right now. You know you're fit, so you just gotta like ramp it up a bit and you'll be ready to fly. With however many thousands of people. How many people run that race? It's like
Sydney? I don't actually know how many people are doing it this year. I'd want to say around 40,000, but I'm not completely sure. That might not be accurate.
That's actually crazy. Should we do a quick Google?
I think they had like 80,000 plus people apply to run, but I think maybe 35, 40,000 are actually
Yeah,
doing.
35,000. So, yeah, 35,000. That's crazy, eh?
Crazy to think back, Sydney Marathon in 2022 had 5,000 people, and that's only 3 years ago. So
It's
it's
gone.
crazy. So yeah, no, I'm very excited, and I feel like being here in Sydney and being able to do the build here is a real privilege. It's not something I get to do all the time. In Melbourne, I've done it a couple of times where I've like run Melbourne Marathon after training there in the build up. But most of the marathons I've done in the past, I've like traveled to go do them. So it's cool to kind of feel like it's a home marathon, and there will be plenty going on between now and then as well. So excited to get out and get some training partners and like just do the work, love the grind, as Philly Bowden would say. But how about you, Est? How is training and how's everything been over the last week or so?
Yeah, everything's been good. It's nice to have you back on regular hours so we can like yarn a bit more and stuff. Have my bestie back online more to chat for me. But yeah, no, that's good. And training's going well. I just finished like a bit of a down week. So I kind of reduced my training by like 30% every 4 weeks now on like the fourth week. And it's been helping a lot with like my Achilles and stuff. So yeah, I'm thinking I'm gonna keep doing that. And it's just interesting like how I feel after the down week or even during the down week. Like I did like a medium long run. I did like 70 minutes on Saturday. And I don't know, I think I ran like under 5 minute Ks and it was like easy, you know? And that's because I'd had like five kind of easy days leading into it. So I just feel like, yeah, it's really beneficial and it's counterintuitive sometimes to think that to pull back you actually get better, but it's the same old story we say often, which I feel like I'm really leaning into now even more so, and it's really nice. So yeah, training's going good. Did like a decent tempo on Tuesday. Just been and then the week before I did. So my down week, I was like, I'm not skipping my speed run because it looked so fun. It was 7 by a K. And I was like, I don't want to miss that. So I did my speed run on Tuesday. And then I, from Tuesday to the following Tuesday where I did my next speed session was my down week. Because I was like, I really want to do the 7 by a K. And that was really good. I was stoked with that. I just had like a minute rest as well. So like pretty short rest. My heart rate was going down really easily between and stuff. So yeah, I'm feeling good. Feel strong. Trying to gym 3 times a week. Sometimes it's twice, but yeah, I feel like that's helping a lot. And yeah, I'm just excited. I've got like 5.5 weeks till my half marathon. And yeah, someone asked me yesterday like what time I want to run, and I was like, I don't even know, you know, like it's like a trail run. There's like 370 meters elevation as well, so similar to you in Mexico. But like going through the redwoods as well, and that sort of thing, so uneven terrain. So yeah, I don't really have a time goal. I'm just gonna go and try and run as fast as I possibly can, be in the pain cave for as long as I can, and just get back into racing. It's been so long. I think the last race I did, goodness, that might have been Rotorua last year, so literally a year and a month, a year, like, yeah, 13 months I haven't raced. So, yeah, just gonna do it for fun and really enjoy myself. But also go hard because that's how my brain works. And I just wanna go hard. But yeah, no, I feel really good. And I'm, for those who are interested, I've actually been seeing a naturopath. I feel like some people would love to hear this. So, just, I feel like I had some gut issues and I don't know, I just felt like my health wasn't handy. So I've been working with her. She's incredible. And I do feel like my energy is like different even after 4 weeks of working with her. So yeah, it's cool to work with someone that treats your body holistically. I feel like when I go to like a doctor, it's kind of like, here's a symptom, like here's some medication for your symptom. Like more often than not, they don't even look into what's causing the symptom, which is just like mind blowing to me. But I understand they're under the pump, and like the way they're taught is is to treat a symptom rather than like look at someone as a whole. So I just feel like, yeah, trying some different routes to like feel good and have lots of energy and stuff is interesting, and I'm loving it. So yeah, I'll keep y'all updated on that journey. But I do feel like my energy's better and stuff. So I'm getting a full blood test soon to check everything. And I'm excited, especially to also check my like iron levels because they were a bit low before, but hopefully they're going up. So yeah, everything's good.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm gonna go and get a blood test today, actually, get my iron levels checked. But I actually went to a naturopath when I had Red S, like almost 10 years ago now, and I feel like it really helped as well. I got some like really good advice on what supplements I needed to get. At the time, I didn't realize or didn't even know what Red S was, but I had chronic fatigue, and the naturopath gave me heaps of good advice on like what I needed to do to heal my gut as well. I remember I went to this Chinese medicine and doctor and first, and I didn't really know anything about Chinese medicine. I just think I got recommended to go see him, and he held my wrist, like he put me on the bed and just held my wrist and told me that my gut wasn't working and that I wasn't getting any energy from the food that I was consuming, which when he said that, I was like, yes, that's how it feels. Like I'm eating probably not enough, but I was eating and I didn't feel like I got anything from the food. And anyway, like years later, when I found out about Red S and everything that was going on, and like why I got Red S from like reducing carbohydrates and like actually taking carbohydrates out completely, and how that impacted my gut health and everything. And I was like, damn, that Chinese medicine guy was like really onto it. And then the naturopath was kind of the one that like helped with what supplements and stuff I needed to like get better. So I highly recommend too. I'm glad that you're getting the help that you need to like feel better. But let's pray for our iron levels because I feel like, yeah, I definitely feel like right now, especially after spewing my ring out for the last few days, I feel like I have no energy, but we'll get it back.
Yes, you just need to be able to eat again and like drink lots of fluids. Yeah,
Yes.
smoothies, surely you could stomach some smoothies full of goodness.
Yeah, I've been having lots of like juices as well, which is nice. I feel like
Yum.
definitely. Yeah, particularly after running is good to get them in. But yes, just talking about your race as well gets me excited about trail running. I feel like there's been a lot of trail events, like big trail events on recently with Western States and a few others around the world. There's actually a Golden State Series in Mexico, which I wasn't there for, but I did see online. And it just gets me excited about trail running. I feel like every day I get more and more excited about like actually jumping into trails, and I know I'm got to stay focused, and I'm doing a road marathon, and I have to kind of focus on that. But I'm also like, I don't know, I feel like maybe 2026 for me is going to be a year of like more trail running. So I'm excited for you to do your half because it is like a little bit of both.
Oh yeah, I love that. I feel like you've put your toe in some trail running, or you've dabbled, and you're so good at it. So like, yeah, I'm excited for 2026 to see you go a little bit deeper into the trail world. I love, like, if I could choose to do trail running, I probably would. I just like my ankles, so I'm just gonna do like ones that aren't super technical, I think. So kind of like run the forest and like, yeah, ones that I know or hear aren't too technical to put me at risk of absolutely screwing myself. So but yeah, trail running is so cool. Like, I don't know, I just at the moment just like frothing like the terrible weather and stuff. Like, I know it sounds real weird, but like it's like I don't know, I went to the sauna last night and there's this song at the moment that I really like, and it's quite like a moving song. It's not like poppy at all. It's like a song you put in the sauna, but it's quite like, I don't know, it's just like really intense. And like yesterday when I was in the sauna, I was like, the song came on and I nearly started crying because I was just like visualizing myself like running up this hill with like crazy wind and like rain in my face, and I was just like pushing up this hill and like my heart rate was growing so high and I was like absolutely loving it. I was like, the song is like making me feel things and like, yeah, being out in nature and stuff. It was just so nice. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that, but
Music is so powerful, particularly when you're exercising. I feel like it can completely change your mood and like motivation levels to run. It's yeah, nothing beats a good soundtrack, I reckon. Speaking of big races that have been on recently, Faith Kipyegon obviously ran or attempted to run the 4-minute mile last weekend, which was so incredible to watch. I feel like there was so much like hype and support and attention in the build up to the run, and it was so exciting to feel like the world was getting behind her, because I feel like women just traditionally haven't had that support in sport. So I thought it was so special. I like when she ran out onto the track. I was obviously watching it online from Mexico, but I was crying. I was like, that's so cool that this is all for a woman. Like, how freaking amazing to get this much support for a woman in sport to like help her fulfill her potential. And I thought that was so, yeah, epic. And she did such an incredible job. It was so inspiring to watch. And although she didn't hit the 4 minute or break the 4 minutes for the mile, she ran freaking fast. And it's, I just don't know if people understand how fast that is. You know, like it's so quick. I think I was trying to explain it to someone recently, and I was saying it in a way that Zoe Hobbs, who is the fastest sprinter in Oceania, our Kiwi golden girl, one of the best 100 meter sprinters in the world, she runs 100 meters in. She just broke 11 seconds for the first time in ages, which is like breaking 11 seconds for the 100 is insane. That's so fast. If you've ever seen sprinters sprint, they are moving so quick. Well, Faith Kipyegon is only running 4 seconds slower than Zoe Hobbs. To break the 4-minute mile, she has to run 4 seconds slower than Zoe Hobbs 16 times over, back to back. Like when you put it into that context, it's kind of like, what, that is insane, because those sprinters are moving so quick. And then Faith has to do 100 meters every 15 seconds to get to that 4-minute barrier. It's like crazy. But so inspiring.
It's crazy. We were talking about it as well, like in terms of like 800 meter time, which is like if you go under 2 minutes, you're like really, really good. And like you could probably go to the Olympics and like who knows, you could even win top races like with those times. She has to do that twice in a row. And like, I don't know. It's like it's so for anyone who understand K times, it's like a sub 2-minute 30 kilometer as well. But yeah. It's just insane. Like when I was thinking about it, I was like, yeah, she could do it. She could do it. And then I was breaking it down and I was like, holy fuck. Like that's actually mentally fast. Like so fast.
So fast, but I think she will, and if it not her, someone like a woman will do it eventually, which is so cool. And I think that's like the power of these big events, like they did the breaking two for Eliud Kipchoge. It really like comes down to once one person can do it or has done it, then it allows other people to believe that it's possible, and then all of a sudden you'll start to see lots of people do it. That's exactly what happened with the 4-minute barrier for the men, and I believe something similar will probably happen for the woman. So although Faith didn't get it, I think it's so freaking epic that she put that goal out there and told the world that that's what she was going to chase, and the world supported her on that, and Nike supported her on that. And although she didn't get there, she still like really inspired so many people to like also chase their big goals and put them out to the world. And it's definitely something that I have and do still struggle with in my own running career, is like setting goals and then being confident enough to like tell people what those goals are, because there's always the fear of failure. But then when you see someone like Faith, who does that on a huge global stage in front of millions of people and so much support, you know, that makes me think maybe I shouldn't like be afraid to share my goals and worry that people are going to judge me if I don't get to them. But it is hard. I still feel like there's this like pressure that comes when you do tell the world what you're going after.
Totally, yeah. It's like keeping it quiet. It's more of this, like, I don't know, inward goal, and then if you don't get it, you haven't told all these people, and they're gonna be like, oh, she didn't get it. But then I think about like Faith and like just the amount of self-belief she must have had to have like put that out there. But then also, you know, like I know it wasn't an official world record, like although she didn't break the mile, like 4 minute mile, she still broke her own world record unofficially. And like, I don't know, even seeing her after in the interview, like she didn't really seem disappointed. I feel like she was just like, I'm just gonna give this a crack. And whatever happens, like she was proud, like I feel like she was proud that she, I don't know, took that chance and like, yeah, put it out to the world and inspired so many people. I was so inspired, like I was same as you, Liz. I was like crying and I was like, oh my gosh, she is so brave, like to say this. Like I imagine that she would have been more nervous in that situation, I don't know, than many other races she's been in, because yeah, it's just all on her. She's shared this massive goal with everyone. It's something no one else has ever achieved, so it's like, yeah, I can't imagine how she was feeling. But yeah, I'm similar to you. Like I struggle with like really putting my goals out there, because then yeah, you feel more of that outward pressure as well as your already internal pressure. Because you've told other people, and then they'll have this expectation on you as well. But I think what I've realized over the years, and I'm sure you have too, Liz, is that no one really actually cares that much. They probably take like 1 minute out of their life seeing how you went, and then they go back to their day. Like no one actually really cares that much. They just want you to be like happy and go for it. So yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because if you can handle the pressure of putting that goal out there, it's probably a really good thing, because you can inspire a lot of people in that journey. But it's like balancing that with, yeah, that extra pressure that it could bring to you, if you let it.
I think what I realized is the people that will understand your results and understand what times and paces you've run compared to maybe what your goal is are the people who also are runners and also understand what it's like to enter a race and not feel good or feel good and reach your goal and not reach your goal. The people that understand your times and the places are the ones that are going to be more compassionate, and the people that aren't compassionate won't even understand times and places. You know, they don't even know what like a 80-minute halfer is, or an hour and a half or a half is, or like a 40-minute 10K. Like they just don't get it. Like a 40-minute 10K is probably the same as a 30-minute 10K to them. So like it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, no one, you're right, no one cares. It really is all about like yourself, and yeah, like being more compassionate towards yourself too.
Yeah, exactly. And like you say, you're bang on, like everyone has bad races. Like I don't think there's anyone on this earth that has never experienced a race that didn't go to plan. So you would hope, yeah, the ones that understand, you know, what an 80-minute versus 70-minute half is, like, would have compassion towards you. And if they don't, like, they're a bit of a dick anyway. So they can just live their life, and we're not going to be surrounding ourselves with people like that anyway, because we want compassion and empathy, because we're all going after big hairy goals and they're hard, and like we're putting so much into it, and it can be quite disappointing in the journey. But like, yeah, we don't want that type of energy around us. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, it is hard to put it out there because it's scary. But like, yeah, I'm gonna try. My goal for the Rotorua, I'll put it out there. I really want to try win the race. I don't know what time I want to run, because I don't know what the terrain's like and stuff. So I don't have a specific time in mind, but I really want to try win. So that's my goal.
So that's so good. That's so good. And I think every race is different. You know, there will be some races where you can predict times better, and then you can like have your goal based on time. And then there's some races where you can't predict time, and maybe you're not latest and want to win, but you might just want to like finish really strong or feel really good or like high five 10 people throughout the race. I mean, for me in Mexico, my goal was to run it comfortably, and I feel like I fulfilled that goal, and setting that goal actually helped me stay consistent to that goal in the race. You know, like knowing that that was the goal, I was like, I had to keep reminding myself of that in the race, and it allowed me to like not push myself too hard. So I think putting those, and I also knew that I'd said it on the podcast, and that you know you all would be listening and being like, she better not smash herself. So That definitely helped to keep me accountable as well.
That's so good, and you did it. Like, I'm proud of you for that. I just wanted to add one other thing to me saying that I want to win the race. I have no idea who's showing up. So, like, there could be someone that's just way faster than me, and that doesn't end up happening. But it doesn't mean that I can't still have that goal, you know, but also be happy if I don't. Like, I'm not going to be gutted if I don't. No idea who's going to be there on the day, but like, I would really like to, and I'm going to try really hard. So, yeah, I wanted to share it because, like, we're talking about being brave enough to share what our mind is thinking, and I feel like, yeah, it's cool to do that.
Yeah, it's so good. I recently watched Ali Ostrander's recent video, and she talks about the subject as well, and just the pressure that she feels because she has a huge audience, and she's putting her big hairy goals out to the world, you know, and she has thousands and thousands of people who see her goals and then have this potentially expectation that she's going to reach those goals, but there's never guarantee that you're going to get those goals. And I think for her, and I feel her because I feel the same. It's just like being understanding towards yourself and like knowing that you won't reach your goals all the time, but it's good to put them out there because it does give you a level of like self-belief that you can achieve them. But I can only imagine for someone like her and other runners who have big profiles, like how scary that can be and how much pressure that can feel, could feel like by telling the world that you're going after it. But we all just need to be like faith and have faith, for a lack of a better word, and believe that you can do it and just kind of like, yeah, go after it and chase things. You really never know where it's going to take you.
Totally, totally. Maybe we'd all be world champions then if we had the same mindset as Faith. She's got so much self-belief. It's like pretty cool to see. And it definitely, I'm sure, inspired a lot of other people to try to think bigger and like, yeah, believe in themselves as well. Because chasing that is just quite an outrageous goal. But like, she actually came really close. And like, yeah. Someone will do it one day, whether it's her. So yeah, I'm sure she inspired so many people by having the bravery to like say that she wanted to do that, just through her incredible self-belief.
You should definitely, if you haven't already, watch the documentary about her. And it was only part one that's out, and I think part two is going to come out soon, which will be more focused on the actual race. But yeah, it's so incredible watching where she's come from and her family and her as a mother and the way she speaks about, you know, having a child and becoming a mom, and that journey is just like so incredible too. So we will link that into the show notes if you haven't watched it, because it is a really inspiring watch.
Yeah, I love that. I think I first fell in love with Faith. I'll just say that I love her because she's so cool. When I saw her, I think she was at the Olympics and she was like lined up to start the 1500, and she had like a crop top and little shorts on, and she had like her stomach skin was like, you know, like saggy from having her, from going through pregnancy, and it was like real visible right there on the start line. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. I don't think I've ever seen a woman runner who you can clearly see has been through that and like is showing it to the world. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love her, like she's amazing. So anyway, yeah, she's been through all of that and like wears it proudly. Like she's so cool.
Definitely, yeah, she talks about it in the documentary about how proud she is of her body because she gave birth to her daughter, and that's just so special. And it's such a different story to what we're used to hearing, you know, from women, or not necessarily women, but from society around like bounce back culture and what women have to look like after they give birth. And it's just so toxic. So she's very refreshing and inspiring. So
Yeah.
definitely go watch that one. But I think that is it for today. I appreciate you all for tuning in. If you do have any questions or feedback, or if you want us to cover any specific topics on the podcast, definitely get at us on Instagram at femi.co. We're always around and willing to chat. But we appreciate you all for tuning in and listening to us this week. We have a very special episode next week, so come back for that one. We've got some pretty exciting events launching very soon as well. So stay tuned on our Instagram to sign up to those. But in the meantime, happy running. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you all next week.